Back to the book of Job, if you would, please. We're going to acknowledge Bildad's closing comments here in Job chapter 8. And we're going to take a look at just the first few words of Job's response. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, and I'll be reading, you can follow along with me, beginning in verse 20 of chapter 8. And I'll just read verses 20 through 22, and then we'll pray and get on into things as we conclude Bildad's discourse here to his friend Job. Bildad closes out what he's been saying but with these words beginning in verse 20. He says, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing, that they that hate thee, they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught." Now, we have been away from this passage for a little over a week now. We had a reprieve last week with Resurrection Sunday and all of that about the crucifixion and the death and the burial of our Lord, etc. But now we're going to pick back up here and kind of catch the end of what Bildad is saying. And Bildad assumes here that if Job was perfect, right? If Job, if you will, had been right with God, and we know that there is no such thing as a perfect man, and that's not what Bildad means. What Bildad is talking about is that complete man, that man that is just with God and right with God and in good relationship. And I'll remind you that the Lord in chapter 1 and chapter 2 told Satan himself that Job was a perfect man. Okay? And so Bildad says, hey, Job, God will not cast away a perfect man. Now, let me just interrupt here my own thoughts, because I can do that, because they're my thoughts, and I can interrupt them if I want to. Job is not being cast away. And see, that's the first mistake these friends are making, is they think that this thing that has come into Job's life is God throwing Job away. Or if you will, throwing him under the bus punishing him or whatever. But we know, because we've been given the scriptures, that that's not true. Okay? First of all, let me just say this to you. Job really didn't know, right? But he was pretty confident that it wasn't because of his sin. But his friends, they had no idea. And let me just say this to us. Never assume that what someone is going through is because God's judgment is upon them. Don't just assume that. Now, let me just be fair. Could that be the case? Absolutely it could. Okay? We're all human. We're all sinners before a holy God. And listen, I promise you, I probably should have suffered way more than I have in my estimation. But for the grace of God. Amen? Okay? I think we all could probably say a hearty amen to that. And listen, that's up to God to decide. Now, he assumed that God would not have allowed these sufferings to come into Job's life unless he were an evil doer. Okay, so Bildad sums up his statement by making two facts. By the way, these two facts are true facts. They're just not applicable to Job. So he does say, "Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man." True. But God, in this circumstance that Job is going through, is not God casting Job away. It's just not. It's a different kind of trial. And there are different kinds of trials. They just didn't know that, I guess. They missed the memo.
the company memo.
Now, fact number two, he says, neither will he help the evildoers. Okay? So, he's saying, Job, you are not getting any relief. You are not getting any answers from God because you're an evildoer. Because God will not help the evildoer. By the way, is that true? Yes, it is. Okay? Now, you say, but Pastor, there are evildoers in this world that are successful. They're rich. They're wealthy. Listen, folks, that doesn't mean God is helping them. Do you know that there are natural courses in this world? They're just natural courses. And just because someone lives a wicked life and has $1 million in the bank doesn't mean God is helping them. Nor does it mean if you are living godly and you only have $1 in the bank that God is not helping you. You see, it just depends on our definition of terms. And Bildad, and so far, not so far yet. We haven't talked about him. So far, Bildad Eliphaz, they have the wrong interpretation and definition of the events. Now he goes on to say this. He says, "Well, we have to go back to verse 19." He says, "Behold, this is the joy of his way." And out of the earth shall others grow. He says, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help evildoers, colon. He says, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. He says, for those that are helped by God, this is the result. God's going to fill you with laughter. He's going to fill you with rejoicing. He says, and also those that hate you will be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. So he says, there are some things that are just true, Job, and we need to make sure that we don't get these things confused. So he's telling Job, don't get things confused, when he's the one that's confused. Okay? Now, let us not make ourselves judges of men, but tend to our own business and allow God to deal with men as He wills. It is not for us to say that God is casting someone away. It is not to say because someone's going through something that God is not helping him because he's an evildoer. Those things are not for us to say. We know that these truths are true, that God loves his own and he helps his own. And we know that God hates the wicked and he judges the wicked. We know those things are absolutely 100% true. But in both cases, God's timing is unknown. Secondly, God's ways are unknown. You know, you say, okay, Pastor, my definition of God taking care of me is God giving me $1 million. Wouldn't that be nice? Nice. I mean, we think it would be nice, right? But is that always how God takes care of us? No, it's not. You know, sometimes God decides to take care of us by not incurring extra bills so that what we have can pay the bills. Sometimes God taking care of us is allowing me to buy a really nice package of hormone-free, natural, uncured bacon for $2.37 instead of $6.99. I bought 13 packages. If you need some bacon, just come ask the preacher, okay? Why'd you buy 13 packages? Because that's all the packages they have. God marked those down for me, so I bought them all. I thought that was a wise investment, okay? We had BLTs the other night. Thank you, dear. Hallelujah. I like it. Who likes a good BLT? Yeah, amen. I do. Now, I'll put about 8 or 9 pieces of bacon on one sandwich, but that's okay. It was $2.37. I can afford to, all right? Hey, sometimes that's how God takes care of us. He may not cut me a check for $500, but he may save me $500 in grocery bills. Or maybe he'll allow my house to run more efficiently, or perhaps, you know, whatever the case may be. Come, folks, God does things for us. Hey, maybe he'll let your car run an extra 10 years. I mean, whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that God takes care of us. By the way, there's all kinds of ways that God punishes us. Who are we to determine what that is? We don't know is the answer. Okay? Now, so we should refrain from making judgments on what God is doing. On one hand, Bildad says if he were perfect, that God would not cast him away. And then also on the other hand, he says, because God's not helping you, you must be an evil man. So he says, Job, you're a hypocrite. There's no way that this can happen in your life. In Psalm 30, David writes and says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye his saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Now, I read that because that's the truth of what Bildad was saying, right? He said, look, if God is going to be your rescuer, if God is going to be the one that triumphs for you, he's going to fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. And by the way, does God do that? Absolutely he does. But it's always in his timing. Do you notice even there in that psalm, David said there was a time where God was not answering and David cried out to God. And God did answer him. And here's the thing to remember. The time frame. In the Psalms, we're never really told as to how quickly God answered David. He just says, in my distress I cried out unto you, and the Lord heard my plea. You know, and he answered my cry, and he took care of my enemies. But how long did that take? We have no idea. There's no time frame given. Was it a week? Was it a month? Was it a year? We have no clue as to how long these things took. And subsequently, we don't really have a clue as to how long all of this is taking. It could be days. It could be weeks. It could be months. We just don't know. But I'm pretty confident it's not years. Okay? I'm fairly confident that this whole thing didn't take more than a year. I would say it took less than a year. I'm even kind of the opinion, if you will, that this all happened within maybe a month. A particular, you know, I don't know. That's just a guess. Okay? Because nobody can really tell us how long exactly it was. Now, but I can't imagine these friends necessarily taking more than a month away from their own families and their own lives, etc., 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 right? That just seems reasonable to me. But regardless, they're snap judging and saying, hey, this evil has come upon you and God's not answering you, you're evil. Do you know that I've prayed for some things And God has answered it relatively quickly, within a day, a couple days, etc. But I've also prayed for weeks. I've also prayed for months. I've also prayed for years. And God still has not answered some things in my prayer time. Anybody else there? Okay. We're all evil. We're all wicked. Because God will not help the evil man. Everybody understand what Bildad's doing here? It's absolutely ridiculous. Okay? True statements, wrong timing. We must be careful of these things in our own lives. We know these truths, Psalm 126, Psalm 91. They give us insight into how God helps the righteous and God hates the wicked. And will judge and deal with the wicked. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Just not for Job's case. Now, just to whet your appetite, and you're listening fantastically tonight, because I'm right where I want to be. Look at verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth. Listen, Job is not going to sit here and argue with his friends. And by the way, his friends aren't necessarily saying falsehoods. They're just misapplying the truth. By the way, we've been talking about rightly divide the word of truth. Cut it straight. And that's part of what we need to be careful with as believers in Christ. Now, Job agrees with the principle of Bildad's statements. Look what he says here. He says, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. So he's talking about contending with God, and we're going to talk about wrestling with God and contending with God here in just a moment. But he does not disagree with Bildad. He says, it is so of a truth. Man is an unequal match for God. Please remember that. We are no match for God. And by the way, you've heard me say this before, you are also no match for the devil. Okay? We are no match for any supernatural being. Why? We are but flesh. So you know where we need to be matched in our own realm. And we need to, if you will, not mess with the supernatural. Why? Because we're no match for it. Remember what Jesus told Paul, if you will, or Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, right? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Right? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, right? What's he saying? He's saying, hello, leader of Israel. Don't you know it's not wise to contend with God? You know, I mean, that's what he's saying. And Job's saying here, look, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He says, but so how in the world can man justify himself before God? So he's saying to Bildad, I'm not even trying to justify myself. I'm just telling you how I feel. I'm beaten down. I am full of sorrow. God has afflicted me, and I don't know why. And here you are trying to say that I'm not just before God, and I must be wicked and evil, and I'm a hypocrite. He said, that's not true either. And so we've got to realize that man is not an equal match for God. Listen, just think about people that have gone up against God and how they fared. How about Mr. Nebuchadnezzar? Remember him? That's a neat story. Made into kind of a beast. eating grass. His nails grew out all along. You know, the women screamed. And yeah, until what? Until he acknowledged God and God revived him. Hey, how about Jonah? How did Jonah's bout with God go? Not so good. And by the way, who lost that battle? Jonah, right? I mean, I think God got so fed up with Jonah, he just ended the book. You know, I've been talking about, I've talked with that about that with other people, other pastors, and I'm like, to me, Jonah's one of the craziest books because God leaves off mid-thought. I think God got so frustrated with Jonah, he just said, I'm not writing about this anymore. End. Just like, it's like, whoop, whatever. Jonah lost. How about Ananias and Sapphira? How'd they do against God? Yeah, not so good. What about Korah? And you know, all those that rebelled against Moses, the man of God? I love that. I preached, do I have that on video? Over in Sicily, I was a young preacher boy and learning to preach and stuff. I preached about Korah and how, you know, the ground swallowed him up alive. Just amazing. I mean, who won that one? Yeah. How about the one where the 70 guys, or I think it was 70, they were the censors there, right? God just sent the fire down and just made them, you know, crispy bacon. Not floppy bacon, crispy bacon. And he burned them up. You know, listen, there's no way we could stand up against God. And Job is making the case that listen, God is who he is. He says, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not. He's like, Bildad, do you really think that we could make any kind of a battle with God or go against God? There's no way. And so we've got to realize that, yes, these things are true, and we've got to let God be the one that dictates things. Psalm 143, David writes, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. You understand that God is faithful. And he will answer, and he will be faithful. Those are things that are true. So, well, I haven't heard his answer yet. Well, that's an answer. Right? Just wait. Or not yet. You've heard me say this statement before. The world will say, when God closes a door, he opens a window. Okay? That's stupid. Because windows are not for going out of. Okay? No. When God closes a door, sit in the house and wait till he opens another door. Or I like to say it, when God closes the door, the devil opens a window, hoping you'll go out anyways. So we've got to be careful. We got to wait for God. He will be faithful. It's in his righteousness he will hear us. He says, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no living man be justified. Even David says this. Job just said that, right? In verse 3, he says, no, I'm sorry, the end of verse 2. But how should a man be just with God? David says here, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. Why? Because we're cursed. Our only justification is in Jesus Christ. When God sees our righteousness, he's not seeing our righteousness. He is seeing the righteousness of his son. Our righteousness is filthy rags, folks. The best we have to offer is putrid before God. But the righteousness of Christ is perfect. And that's what we need to count on, is God's faithfulness, God's righteousness, because we cannot ourselves be justified before God. Just the rest of what David says here. He says, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. By the way, isn't this how Job feels? Absolutely. He says, my heart within me is desolate. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Now, Job has not been given enough time to express what David expressed, his sorrow and his faith. Job is just dealing with the sorrow right now. And on top of that, he's dealing with two friends so far that are just adding grief to grief. So as we consider these things, please understand there are truths about God. And we should hold on to those truths. But we are not the judge of when and how those truths are applied. God is the only one that knows those things. And if you will, I'll borrow from what Job says. If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. We're no match. His ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher, folks. And sometimes we just have to say, you know what, God? I'm human. You're not. That's okay. And we need to carry on with life and trust God.